happy 40th birthday. Here's your first kid. Round 2 years later, it's time to leave show biz.
Welcome back to this special edition of the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. I am Bruce Allen, and we are doing a special show about relationships and dating with the Webermans, Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who is my regular guest for Therapy Talk, and her husband, Jason Weberman. We were just talking with Jason about what he does as a dating and relationship coach, and I have a question for you, Jason, which we left off at the end of the last segment. What do you think gets in the way for most people to find their soulmate?
Quite simply put, it's themselves.
Yes.
People get in their own way, and they don't realize it. They have blind spots.
Okay, give some examples. I mean, really be hardcore here.
Absolutely. You know, people's perceptions and beliefs are one thing that gets in their way. You know, people have definitive beliefs like, I'm meant to be alone, or, you know.
Well, I wanted Beyonce. Was that unrealistic of me when I was dating?
Well, you know what? You might have ended up with Beyonce if you worked hard enough. I don't know, Bruce. But, you know, people's limiting perspectives. You know, some women think that all men are jerks. If you think all men are jerks, then you're not giving any room for people that aren't jerks. So when you meet people, you're going to treat them like jerks. And nice guys don't want to be treated like jerk. They want to be treated nicely, so they're not going to bother with you. We mentioned past relationships. That's a biggie. You have to come to terms with your past relationships. You have to understand that you went through that relationship for a reason. You have to learn from that relationship. If you go on to the next one, you're just going to be carrying that baggage with you.
Why, and this is for both of you, Dr. Weberman, I want you to answer this, because we talked about this as recently as a few weeks ago, but why is it that so many of us repeat the patterns and choose the same partner with the same issues and problems of the previous partner? I mean, second marriages end more in divorce than first marriages, and third marriages end more in divorce than second marriages. So clearly, as our organic instinct is to do the same darn mistake. Why do we do that?
Part of it is an unconscious process. We keep attracting the same kind of person because we have unfinished business with that person. Whether it was a parental figure, that's where it originated, or the very first boyfriend or girlfriend that we had, but something didn't end well, there was a hurt that's unresolved, and we keep attracting someone who resembles them in some way so we can successfully heal through that old relationship, through the new relationship, but what ends up happening is the same cycle keeps repeating. So that's why when Jason says, unless you heal that, you're just going to keep bringing the past into every new relationship you enter.
Well put, well put. I was stunned when I learned that statistic that people get divorced more in second and third marriages than their first. It's really amazing. All right, you guys, we have about 8 minutes left in this segment. So where would you like to go next?
How about the rules of fighting fair, the do's and don'ts of that? Sound good?
It sounds very good, because I think it's such a gigantic problem in so many relationships, including my own. Shh. Okay, so what are the rules of fighting?
Everybody argues it's a matter of doing it in a healthy way, right? So we have a list of don'ts and do's, and honestly, the do's don't work if you're still doing the don'ts. So they're both equally important. So I'll start with the don'ts. Name-calling, insulting your partner's character or their physical appearance, or even insulting your partner's family. Definitely we don't want to go there. When you get really personal like that, the argument is now going to become about defending yourself, about counterattacking, and you're probably not even talking about the original subject matter anymore.
And you're not even hearing each other.
The next one is, and Jason has taught me this, oh my goodness, don't go to bed angry and don't let it fester. I used to be perfectly fine with going to bed angry.
Every woman I've ever been with likes to go to bed angry and sleep in another room.
And I felt very good about it. And he had it as a hard and fast rule in our relationship that he did not accept that. And it made such a huge difference. And I give him full credit for that.
You know, my family therapist had a really good addition to this. He said, you don't go to bed angry, and I don't care how tired you are. Because the more tired you are, the more willing at that point you will be to compromise and resolve it. And
I think
yeah, because you want to go to bed. So if the rule is you don't go to bed angry, you have to stay up until you resolve it, that will actually help you.
Yeah, give you a little more incentive to resolve issues before you go to bed.
Right, right. Okay, continue with the don'ts, if there are any more.
Don't bring up unrelated things from the past. And I got to say, my gender is a little bit more guilty of this, I think, than the other gender. You know, if it doesn't have anything to do with what you're currently arguing about, don't mention it. Just stick to the subject at hand. Another thing that we, I think, do a little bit more often than men do, using words like always, never, things like that. Men are very logical, and if you say you always or you never, they're immediately going to argue the logic of what you're saying, even though we know that's not actually what we literally mean. So just avoid those words altogether.
All right, so are we going to get do's from Jason? Is that how we're dividing this?
Yeah, you go for it.
Well, I think there's one more don't that you missed, my sweetheart, and that is that don't try to win the fight. Don't try to be right. Because that's just getting away from the point of what you're trying to accomplish, which is really to get back onto the same page.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
So these are the do's of fighting fair. And the first one is take responsibility for your part, meaning that
what
you're
if it's
there.
Never my fault?
Even if you feel that it's never your fault, Bruce,
yeah.
You're responsible because you're there and your partner's pissed at you. So all you have to do is acknowledge that you're the one that's pissing them off.
Even if I'm innocent.
Even if you're innocent.
No, actually.
Even if you think you're innocent.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. You can actually believe you're innocent, but acknowledge that your innocence is still pissing her off.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because they don't want to hear about that.
Right. Okay.
Great. The second do is, and I really am aiming this towards the guys, listen.
What?
Listen.
What?
Exactly. And when you're listening, women, you want to make your wife or partner understand that you're getting what they're saying. So it's really
Hang on a minute. I got a text I got to answer.
Bruce has a text. No, you see, that it's about repeating what they say back to you so they understand that you're getting what they're saying.
So you repeat what they say back to them so you understand what they're saying.
That was
really
beautiful.
Just like you said.
Okay.
The third point is, speak on behalf of your anger rather than from your anger.
Ooh,
can I explain that one? That's
yes,
my
please,
psycho battle
I have
there.
No
yeah.
idea. I have no idea what that means, so I really want to hear that.
When you're angry, you're triggered, and you're speaking from a very emotional and hurt or offended place. You have to be able to separate from that and sort of represent your anger in the conversation. So if you were speaking on behalf of your anger, you'd be telling your partner what it is that they did that had you feel that way. When you're speaking directly from the anger, it's just verbal diarrhea. I mean, you're just throwing up all over your partner verbally at that point, and they're not going to be able to hear it because the energy of what you're saying is too intense. You've got to separate from it.
It's never a problem for me because I don't pay attention anyway.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in your household during an argument.
Oh, we represent every one of the do's and don'ts.
Oh, my goodness.
Go on, Jason.
Okay. This is a biggie. You got to recognize when you've lost control, meaning that you're off the point completely and, you're going all the way into the don'ts.
Mm.
So you have to recognize when you're losing control, maybe taking a time out. Saying, I just need a minute here and walk out of the room and gain your composure. But it's always so important to know when you've lost it. The fifth one is using I instead of you statements. When you're using I feel this way because of this, as opposed to accusing somebody by saying, you know what you're doing wrong here?
Right.
So it's important to stay with the I statement, so you're representing yourself and not representing the other person with accusations.
I want to ask you a question. One of the first things you said about don't was something to the effect of use bad language or bad words or accuse the other
person. No name calling.
Name calling. That was what you said. No name calling.
Yeah.
I find swearing to be really destructive in a fight. Do you agree?
Oh,
it is for me.
For me, I agree. I find it to be unnecessary, and they're expletives. They're really angry. They're powerful words.
They have an energy to them too.
Right, and I think they really distract from any chance at resolution when one partner is employing that kind of language. So you agree?
I get rattled if someone were to use that kind of language when they're arguing with me because it adds the intensity to it, and I shut down.
In the case of my wife. When she does get angry and occasionally swears, it has so much power because that's just not part of her lexicon. That's not the language she usually uses. So when I hear her swearing, it's almost like a physical blow.
Yeah, exactly, because you feel the energy of it.
Wow. Okay, this is very powerful stuff. You know, Jennifer, I'm just going to add to your blog list. I think you could write about 17 columns from this show. So,
Jason and I decided we're going to write a book, so we're going to skip the blog and just go straight to the book.
You could. I'll help promote it. We're out of time for this segment, so think what you want to say in our wrap-up segment, which is our next segment, so stay tuned, everybody.
Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. Do not mess with Mr. In Between. No, no. Do not mess with Mr. In Between. You dig